herramientas para empezar una conversación en escuchandosentimientos.org. Un mensaje de Ad Council y Pivotal Ventures.
Want to do radio? KVFT is looking for programmers and board ops. If this sounds like you, contact me, Marlo Blue, at pdkpft@gmail.com or leave a message at 713-526-4000 extension 1003. Hey, KPFT is looking for you.
Hi, I'm Mel.
And I'm Ro.
We're from Shame on Me.
And you're listening to KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices. It's a new year. Happy 2025, everyone. And here at Queer Voices, we have a tradition of bringing in astrologer Lily Roddy at the start of the year to talk about the upcoming year and what it looks like. This is a feature presentation. Queer Voices starts now.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell, and it's January, and what we usually do in January is talk to our friend Lily Roddy. Lily is an award-winning astrologist and a writer for Outsmart magazine, where you can check her monthly forecast, and then in the January issue, you will have the year's overview. But she's going to share some of that with us now. And Lily, welcome again. It's always a delight to talk with you. And so let's start off with a general overview of what's happening right now.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you. I always look forward to doing this with you every January. It's a very exciting time. And yes, there is a lot of activity going on in the sky that's affecting all of us, not just every specific sign. One of the things I wanted to mention is that we're in a long retrograde period that actually started at the end of November and probably won't be over till about the middle of April, which means that lots of things that have been getting or attempting to get started aren't going to work. Now, I thought I'd give a real clear example of Mars retrograde. This goes back to when Bill Clinton was elected. He was elected during Mars retrograde. And I don't know if you remember, but that's when they tried to put their health program together. Mars rules health in the astrology chart. And because of that, it didn't work. So I'm assuming that a lot of the things that the upcoming administration is going to want to do probably won't manifest, or they'll have a lot of troubles in getting that done. So Mars remains retrograde. Now, Mars is retrograde in Cancer, which is the sign of the USA, July 4th, 1776. And Mars normally travels through Cancer about every 2 years. That often represents Mars activity, which is Mars, which is a very much more active, potentially aggressive, warlike energy. And this is often a time where we see more sword rattling, threats from other governments, and not so surprising, increase in violence inside the USA, which, of course, that's been, you know, highly placed in the news. Excuse me. We also have Venus going retrograde at the end of February through the middle of April. Venus is our planet of love and money and commitments. And with her retrograde, then a lot of the things that we may want to commit to, we may be rethinking, and we will be revisiting a lot of the commitments that we made in the past. That doesn't always mean that it's about relationships per se. It does mean that it's about things we commit to doing. So it's not just relationships. That'll be in Aries. So that'll make people sort of stop what they're doing and rethink things. And of course, we have our normal 3 Mercury retrogrades a year. And our first one will be in March, and from March through April. So it's just this long continuation of this retrograde cycle. So anything that you order, delays in construction, all this sort of thing would be fairly normal, not saying that it would be, you know, fun or we would all be happy. The other retrograde, the other two retrogrades for Mercury are July 12th through August 17th. That's in the sign of Leo, so that'll affect the Leo people. And then November the 4th through December the 8th, and that will affect the Sagittarius and Scorpio people. Mercury retrograde is always just a simple time to stop, turn around, take care of what's on your plate before you add anything else. The other big thing that's taking place in astrology is we're having essentially all of the outer planets changing signs almost simultaneously. Now, I was trying to think back how long I've been doing astrology and if I'd ever seen this before, and the answer to that would be no. So this is a really big thing that's happening, and as a result of this, whenever the planets change signs, particularly the outer planets, which would be Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and Pluto, this tends to create really big shifts in our culture. And generally, there is not unusually an element of conflict. Sometimes wars come up during these times. So it could be an enormous amount of change. Pluto, the planet of death and rebirth, recycling, getting rid of detoxins, is in Aquarius, and it will be in Aquarius for the next 20 years, and it will be affecting all of the fixed signs, Aquarius, Leo, Scorpio, and Taurus. And this will be a big cleaning out time, getting rid of things, facing a lot of our shadow elements. Neptune will be moving into Aries. That'll be March the 30th. I kind of wanted to focus on this a little bit simply because the last time Neptune moved into Aries, that was 1861. And of course, that was the American Civil War. And again, I believe we're already seeing evidence of this building energy. This is pretty much very similar to the 1850s and when they were trying to figure out what to do between free states and slave states in America during that time. Saturn will also move into Aries. Saturn is a planet of restraint and review, and it will be impacting not just Aries, but all of the cardinal energies, Aries, Capricorn, Cancer, and Libra. And Saturn's more about long-term planning, long-term security, what you're going to be doing with that. Uranus will be moving out of Taurus and into Gemini for the first time in 84 years. And we should see a big uptick in technology, communications, and also people wanting to be more free and not want to share their personal information. I think we're going to have a big thing about the way information is shared, particularly with the internet, and the lack of controls around that. And then finally, Jupiter is moving into Cancer. Now, Jupiter spends a year in each sign, and consequently, it's 12 years around. So last time Jupiter was in Cancer was 12 years ago. Jupiter is a planet of growth, expansion, travel, opening up to new adventures, promotions, improving your education. All of those things come with Jupiter into Cancer. So Jupiter will be moving into Cancer in June. Saturn moves into Aries in May. Uranus moves into Gemini in July. And Neptune moves into Aries at the very end of March. Pluto is already in Aquarius and will remain there. So that's really the big shifts that are going on through the astrology process. And it's going to affect essentially every sign. There's no sign that's going to be, you know, sort of missed. Last year, we've had a big focus on the planets being in Pisces and in Capricorn. But a lot of that is going to shift, and we won't be observing the same patterns.
There were two terms that you brought up, and I wanted to ask about them. Exactly what does retrograde mean?
Okay. That's a good question. Thank you. This is a great question. From the tropical geocentric, which means Earth-centered view of astrology, when we look at the planets, they appear to go backwards against the sky. Now, the reason for that is because what's happening technically is that whatever planet, Mercury, Venus, Mars, etc., and the Earth are on the same side of the sun. So it's either where the car is passing us and moving on, so it looks like it's moving faster, or we're passing it. So it's just essentially a conjunction with the Earth and that particular planet. And that brings that particular planet into a very intense focus. And that's why those energies become so strong during the retrograde. Of course, we all know planets don't go backwards, but astrology is Earth-centered. And the reason is we live here on the Earth. And consequently, it's how things impact us. Earth-based astrology does not mean that we don't go around the sun. I mean, that would be silly. But astrology is based on the perspective of us living on the Earth, not living on the sun. But there is heliocentric astrology. So there is an opportunity, you know, if you wanted to look at it from that perspective. And I tend to use that in terms of big picture things, the stock market, people's businesses, things like that.
So it depends on where the Earth is in its orbit and where those planets are in theirs.
Exactly.
Okay. And what does fixed mean?
Thank you. I meant to define those. The signs are divided into three groups. Cardinal signs, Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn, are action-oriented signs. These are the people that are mostly impatient, want to get things done right now, and they're the best to call on if you need something done right now. However, they can be impatient folk. Fixed means persistent and determined. Often the words stubborn and hard-headed are often used for the fixed signs of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, but I think that has a lot to do with your own perspective of what you think stubborn is. So if you're looking for someone who's true blue and, you know, won't let go of you, fixed signs will hang in there with you. They're very powerful signs. Mutable signs, Gemini, Sag, Virgo, and Pisces, are the signs of adaptability. And they're the best signs for dealing with changing conditions, preparing for the new conditions while still holding on to the own. So they tend to be more adaptable, not always clear about what their exact views are because they're adaptable.
I know that in astrology, you mainly look at it from the perspective of a person's sun sign, whatever month they were born in and the dates within that time that make someone be whatever, like myself, a Capricorn. Hold on a second. I got to think about what my question was. Okay. I know that you base it on a person's sun sign, whatever place they were born during a month, such as myself being a Capricorn and having a mid-January birthday. But you get these influences of these other things through different, it's the houses. Like you can have a sun sign, a moon sign, and a rising sign. And then you have wherever these certain planets are in your sign during the year. And so that is how you determine the influence of what that forecast is for that person. Is that correct?
It's partially correct. In a chart, all the planets that we use in our solar system are in the chart. So everybody's going to have a sun, a moon, Mercury, etc. And in an astrology chart, usually the sun and Mercury and Venus are always close together. So no matter what sign you are, whether you're a Capricorn or an Aquarian, Mercury and Venus are usually in your same sign, the sign before, the sign after. So even if you're a Capricorn, it's easy for you to be influenced, possibly have Sagittarian planets or even Aquarian planets. The moon can be anywhere in the chart in any sign. And the same thing is for Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, etc., because all of those planets have their own particular cycle. So when I look at a chart, let me give you an example of this idea. The baby boomers, okay? The boomers are the people that were born with Pluto moving through the sign of Leo. That was from essentially 1937 to 1957. So essentially, those are all the people born with Pluto and Leo. And the term baby boomers comes from the fact that Leo rules children and Pluto is the expression of power. So, and Pluto is regenerative. So that's why the Pluto and Leo people, we're not ready to go. You know, we make reading glasses popular because we make them colorful. We're going to make incontinent underwear popular because it'll be us having to do those things. So part of that energy represents a whole group. The next group would be Pluto and Virgo, and that would be 1957 to 1972. And I think that's what they referred Gen X people. Pluto was in Libra from 72 to 84. That's the next group, 84 to 96. The next group, and then the following group from 2008 till 2025, which is the Pluto and Capricorn group. So it depends on how you look at those things. Outer planets stay in a sign a long time, so they tend to represent a generation or a group of people. For example, Saturn spends 2 1/3 years in each sign. As a result of that, everybody born around you, the people you grew up with in school, are all going to have essentially the same Saturn. And Saturn is our sense of our public presence, what society expects from us, a lot of about our career. And so those would be things that we would all share as a group. Individual planets, which would be Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Moon, all move a lot quicker. And then those are the planets that tend to represent us individually. So in a chart, you can literally have your Sun in one sign and literally every other planet in another sign. So when I look at what's going on, I look specifically at how those areas of the chart and how those signs influence each other through the planetary movement. And astrology, particularly the way that I approach it, astrology is kind of to me like a big clock. So some things astrologically, you know, can be talked about immediately.
We're talking with Lily Roddy about astrology for the year 2025, and normally in astrology, they start off with Aries, which is the latter part of March and into April, but because we're in January, we're going to go ahead and start with the month of January and the sign of Capricorn. So, Lily, what does it look like for us sea goats?
All right, the sea goats, that's one of my favorite signs. I want to say that the reason that every year the sun doesn't enter a particular sign at the same day is because the zodiac is a circular calendar, and it measures the movement of things from the Earth's point of view. So the sun doesn't actually move a whole degree a day, or, you know, a whole 24-hour spin. And so consequently, all those dates are always changing. And that's why people believe that they're born on the cusp. There's actually no such thing as a cusp. We're either one thing or another, but you certainly can have planets in multiple signs. So if you're, as I'm sort of talking about this, if you're a Capricorn, but when I talk about Aquarius, and that seems to fit you also, that's probably because you do have planets in those signs.
Yeah, for me, I have Capricorn Sun, Capricorn Moon, and Aquarius Rising. And apparently my Aquarius Rising is very strong, and a lot of times things that are in Aquarius seem to fit what's going on with me. So that's interesting to hear. I always say my Aquarius rising is what saves me from being a triple Capricorn.
That is so true. Well, and one of the things that you had mentioned, the sun sort of represents our conscious version of our ego, whereas our moon represents sort of our internal or our emotional ego, and the rising sign or the ascendant represents our outer personality or the energy that other people meet. So when your chart, if you're Aquarius rising, then part of that means that, you know, we're going to meet an Aquarian, and then we sort of later get to know your Capricorn. So that's how that works. So let's talk about Capricorn. Now, this is a big year for Capricorns, and there's a couple of reasons for this. First, Pluto finally moves out of your sign. Pluto has been in your sign, the sign of Capricorn, since 2008. That's when we had a huge hurricane hit in Houston in September. That's when Pluto moved into Capricorn. This is a big time of reassessment for Capricorns, particularly related to their family members. This could easily be a time where family members are getting older. There could be a shift in the family hierarchy. Also, along those same lines, because a lot of this is about for Capricorns, this is about your house that are there of your chart that rules your home and family. So this could be about you doing home repairs. It could be about you downsizing, depending on how old you are. And also about looking forward to what you're going to be doing. So what's influencing Capricorn is their ruler Saturn, and that's going to be real dominant over the next 2.5 years for essentially all cardinal signs, Aries, Capricorn, Libra, but particularly for Capricorn because this is your ruler. And this could be for younger people. This could be a time where you're looking at reassessing your career, looking to step forward. For older people, this might be looking at the idea of cutting back, trying not to manage as much, and trying to generate more personal time and space. This is also a time where Capricorns are going to be really leaning into their spirituality and really asking themselves a lot about the whole idea of what drives them and what are their real motivations. So this can also be a time where Capricorns will be looking at having more personal time and personal space and not as much activity unless they choose it. This is also in June. Jupiter will be moving into Cancer. You'll hear me say that a couple of times. Jupiter is usually a positive, growth-oriented energy. It'll be activating Capricorn, and this is good for school, travel, education, promotions at work. It tends to push our energy of hope and enthusiasm, and it's very good for dealing with foreign businesses, even possibly relocating to another country. So Capricorns, for sure, are going to be very busy. And also for the Capricorns, this is kind of a time of reconsidering what you're going to invest yourself, your money, and your energy into. And so you may, if you're a person that has investments, you may be looking at getting rid of some, particularly those that aren't working. That would be really strong this year. Now, as I started with, Mars is in Cancer, and Mars sits opposite the sign of Capricorn. So Capricorns are definitely going to be impacted by this Mars retrograde. And as a result of that, which I know you're already feeling, this is part of that kind of anger that you have. This is part of your restlessness, not sleeping as well. Mars always makes us take life much more personally. And we're really ready to act on how we feel. We can be defensive. And a positive thing of this would be an excellent time for Capricorns to restart any kind of exercise, diet, health program, focus on their health for this year. That would really be an excellent time for that.
Okay. And so then that brings us to Aquarius, which starts January 20th.
Exactly. Now, this is the sign that's going to be going through the biggest set of changes. And that's because Pluto, the planet of death and rebirth, is moving through your sign. Now, it's going to take a long time, 20 years. So, and Pluto moves very slowly. So it's going to impact the people that are born in the earliest degrees of the sign. So those of you that are born the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, you're going to be already experiencing this Plutonian energy, which is making you shed your skin, get rid of things that you don't necessarily want to do, eliminate negative people out of your life. You will be a lot more direct, potentially a lot more real in your conversations. Now, this also can mean on a psychological level that part of the our fear and motivation that tends to drive us, Pluto is a detoxer. So part of what she wants to do is get rid of that energy and allow us to live a healthier life. So often this is why Pluto will go, when Pluto's in your sign, as it is in Aquarius, this is why people are doing downsizing, cleaning things out. It represents a good detoxification. But for the most part, it's going to really be impacting those of you in the earliest parts of the sign. So some people that are Capricorns or probably have planets in Aquarius, so they will also be looking at that. And Pluto represents a huge change. Now, when it comes to career, Pluto represents a change in your industry. And it often isn't particularly about you personally, not that it doesn't affect you personally, but the result of it are Pluto represents mergers and buyouts and downsizing, bankruptcy. And so it's about a consolidation energy. And so sometimes when you're having a big Pluto transit, then where you work, conditions change and you just have to adapt and potentially do something else. So I think this will probably be more difficult for the people that are older. You know, I'm older, so I'm sort of more grounded in my own views and conversations.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell on Queer Voices in Conversation with Lily Roddy. Lily is an astrologer who has a monthly column in Outsmart magazine. You'll be able to pick up the forecast for the year in the January issue. And I believe, besides doing the Lily Roddy show podcast, that you also teach astrology. Is that correct, Lily?
Absolutely, Deborah. I'm starting the class on January the 16th, dealing with natal aspects. So I teach every Thursday.
And we've been going through the signs starting with the month of January, and we are now going to talk about Pisces, which starts on February 19th and goes through March 20th.
Okay, this is a very big time for Pisces. Pisces people, for the most part, will be dealing still with the planet Saturn moving through their sign. And that's all about your career goals, having better personal boundaries, focusing more on yourself rather than trying to help or save everybody around you. And so that would be a normal time to review your career. As I've said in the past, younger people, this is sort of a time where you're sort of looking to push yourself forward. Older people, this might be a time when we tend to step back or cut back on our schedule. There's also a huge influence with the planet Uranus for Pisces. This is going to be affecting the area of your life that rules your family, your physical location. And this could bring changes in terms of the family hierarchy. There could be older family members may be leaving the planet while newer or younger family members may be taking their place. This could easily be a time where Pisces feel like they need to relocate or even get off of the grid. They sort of want a lot more sort of personal space. And so that's what's happening with those Pisces people. They've been in a real strong sense of renewal. And that will improve, and they'll be more focused overall as we get into the spring and summer of 25. That's actually a better time for Pisces overall. And that's probably a time when they'll be most active, particularly with this big retrograde cycle that we're in.
So we're going to take a brief break and come back to talk with Lily Roddy, who's the monthly columnist for Astrology and Outsmart magazine and the producer of the Lily Roddy Show podcast.
This is KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 FM Galveston, 91.9 FM Huntsville, and worldwide on the internet at kpft.org. This is Glenn from Queer Voices. You're listening to KPFT. That means you're already participating just by listening. But how about doing more? KPFT is totally listener-funded, which means it's people like you who are making donations who support this community resource. KPFT has no corporate or government strings attached funding, which means we're free to program responsibly but without outside influence. Will you participate in KPFT financially? This station needs everyone who listens to chip in a few dollars to keep the station going, because that's the way it works. Even if you're listening over the internet on another continent, you can still contribute. Please become an active member of the listener community by making a tax-deductible contribution. Please take a minute to visit kpft.org and click on the red Donate Now button. Thank you.
And after Pisces comes
Aries.
And that covers May 21st through June 20th.
I think you're a month ahead.
Oh, I am.
March, I think it's March.
I should 21. Wear my glasses, shouldn't I?
Don't ask me. I can't find mine.
So we're talking March 22nd through April 19th for Aries.
Okay, Aries energy. Now, this is a huge time for Aries. A, Saturn enters your sign. That'll be happening in May. This will be the first time Saturn has been in your sign since for the last 30 years. And Saturn is about long-term future goals, your career, your security, reassessing where you are, getting rid of things that don't work. That's going to be really prominent. Also, the planet Neptune moves into the sign of Aries, hasn't been here in 165 years. And Neptune is the planet of spirituality and the need to help and people that are underprivileged. So Saturn will be moving in, excuse me, Neptune will be moving into Aries. This will impact particularly the Aries folk that are born in the very earliest part of the sign, probably the first 5 to 6 days of the sign. You'll be impacted by this the most through 25, but this whole process will take place 26 and 27. So you're definitely looking at correcting where you are. This could also be a shift in your relationships. For some people, this could be a commitment time. For other people, this will be a time to renew your relationships. And in difficult relationships, this could be a time where you're not doing so well in your partnerships. After July, again, moving, relocation, better job opportunities, all that occurs for Aries. And Aries people, of course, your planet Mars is the planet retrograde currently, and it's part of the reason why you're not acting straightforward like you usually do. Because your ruler Mars is retrograde, it makes you slow down and think things through.
So we're going to take a brief break and come back to talk with Lily Roddy, who's the monthly columnist for Astrology and Outsmart magazine and the producer of the Lily Roddy Show podcast.
Taurus is our next sign. And when are those dates, Deborah?
April 20th through May 20th. So it seems like it's... Is it always the same amount of days for a sign to be in?
Well, in astrology, this is kind of the difference. Astrology measures things in degrees, so there are 30 degrees to a sign, no matter how fast a planet moves. So it doesn't actually respond to a day. That's why the days change. The the sun doesn't actually move a whole degree a day. It's about 59 minutes. And that's why we have our solar correction with our calendar every 4 years to add a day because of the inaccuracy in our calendars. But the zodiac is a 360-degree calendar that's just based on the speed of the planet. So that's why those dates always change.
I see. So April 20th through May 20th for Taurus.
Now, Taurus people have had Uranus, this planet of reinvention, move through your sign over the last 7 years. It's just now moving out. That should help to create a lot more stability for Tauruses. And also it will make it easier for Tauruses essentially to make a commitment. Uranus wants to build a fence with a gate with no lock. So it always wants to keep its options open, which is not very Taurian. Taurus tends to put their fence post in cement, and then they tend to be happy with that. You're going to be more selective about your neighborhood. You may care more about your property. This could be an excellent time to go back to school, to teach, take classes. You will definitely be more outspoken. And if you're into the whole idea of podcasting, this is a great time for you to take that up in your chart. So it would be very positive for you. And you will be more selective about your neighbors, who you're around. And that's going to be very strong. And I guess if you have a political bent, that would definitely even be stronger.
In what way?
You would be, Taurus people will be looking for people of like-mindedness. So they're definitely going to be thinking about where they are and having groups or allies that they can connect with.
I think that's something we all need to consider.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And might it also be a consideration for running for office?
Well, that is a really good comment, Deborah. That I would think that for people that are more motivated in that sense, Uranus is part of this energy that wants to produce change. So it's ready to be the rebel.
All right. And that brings us to Gemini, which is May 21st through June 21st. Sign of the twins.
And all of the names of the signs are just Latin words. Aries means goat. Taurus means bull. Gemini means twins. So how interesting is that? Now, for
well,
the Gemini.
Well, isn't it? It has to do with what the constellation is. Correct?
No, it actually has to do with what sign it's in. There's a constellational view of astrology, and then there's a tropical view of astrology. And the tropical view, which is the one mostly used in the U.S., not always, is based on the sun and earth positions. The sidereal Vagan or the Vedic zodiac is based on the precession of the equinox and where the easternmost point of the earth points to in the sky against a constellation. So there are actually two different measurements using two different processes. One is about the earth and one is about the sky.
Well, you have really enlightened me, Lily. I had no idea that was the case. I always thought it was associated with the constellation. So, again, Gemini, the twins, what's in store for them?
Well, for the Geminis, Uranus, the rebel, is moving into your sign for the first time in 84 years. This is a huge sense of wanting to do something different. Change where you are, get away from demanding people or anything that makes you feel trapped or uncomfortable. And even for people that would be successful in their business, relationships, this produces the need to sort of change things up. And it also means that that because of the Uranus energy for Gemini, that the people may not are more interested in looking at their options rather than necessarily choosing something. So that's part of this kind of breaking up of their past, of what they have done in the past. So Geminis are likely to be a lot less fixed in their places. They're going to want to try things. They're going to want to push against things that they don't care for. However, it's an incredibly reinventive time. It's a super duper time to go back to school, look for a new profession, or even start something on your own, because that's really a big energy that Geminis are dealing with. And it'll be easier for them this year in 25 actually to make the changes that they need to.
And so that brings us to Cancer, and I believe that's your sign, Lily.
That's my sign, yes.
And that's June 22nd through July 22nd. And in December, you said the crab folk are more crabby than usual this month. Did you find that to be the case?
Well, yes. I've already lost a claw this year, so... Part of the big reason for that is that Mars is just in the sign of Cancer. It moved into Cancer in October. It doesn't really leave Cancer until April 17th. And so that's going to keep the crabby Cancers more crabby. And so we are going to be harder to get along with and more touchy. And we're just going to want things done yesterday. And that's just part of the energy that we're living through. Now, the other side of that is that Mars has a lot to do with the physical body and your health. It's a great time to take care of your health, restart those programs, exercise programs. All of that stuff is just going to be really positive and a lot better. In the summer, Jupiter, our planet of growth and expansion, moves into Cancer for a year. This could also mean good things for Cancer, better business, improvement in relationships, possible relocation. All of that stuff is actually really good for Cancers. And Cancers, much like Capricorns, have been going through a really tough time. And we're finally sort of moving out of that slowly. And but things will improve, that definitely improve by the time we get to the summer. But right now, that Mars retrograde, what that means for Cancers, this is just not the time to start something new. Get yourself ready, do your research, get prepared, and be ready for that to, push forward in the middle of April of this 25.
And then that brings us to the Lions, Leo. To the 23rd, July 23rd to August 22nd.
Now, Leos are being impacted by Pluto. And what that means is Pluto is moving into your house of relationships. Now, this is a pretty rough transit, honestly, for any kind of relationships, business or personal. And now, on the positive side of it, Pluto is about detoxing the type of people that you would attract and getting rid of those negative energies. You can't look at that as bad. However, it can still be confrontational and a lot more intense and direct, I think, than Leo wants to be. Leo, ultimately is a sign of love. So to be so confrontational, that's very hard for Leo people. So there's a big shift here. If you're in a difficult relationship, yikes, this would probably be a more difficult time. However, it would push you to find some sort of resolvement there no matter what. This could also make you rethink everything that you do. Pluto always is sort of a huge change and affects every aspect of our life. And again, being the planet of death, it could be that older members of your family may be passing during this particular time. But it's a better time for friendships. It's a better time for reaching out to social groups, connecting with people that you really associate with, renewing your friendship elements in your chart. Really a much more positive time for that. Overall, it's a more positive energy for all of the fire signs and all of the air signs. So Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius for the fire signs, and then Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius for the air signs. All of those signs will be doing a little better than they have been doing in the past.
And that brings us to Virgo, which is August 23rd through September 22nd.
Virgos. So Virgos have been dealing a lot with their relationship energies. Both Saturn and Neptune have been impacting those elements in their chart. And for positive relationships with Virgos, you have been working to upgrade your relationship so that it adequately reflects who you are, where you're headed in your current relationship. The aspects for involving yourself in another relationship continues to be strong, particularly as we move into the summer. However, for Virgos, this is a really huge shift in your career. Uranus, this planet of reinvention, will be moving into your career sector. That will take a while, about 6.5 to 7 years, but you will feel it no matter where you are. People that are born in the earliest parts of the sign will be dealing with that right now. And this could be feeling bored, trapped, wanting to do something on your own. And always, if you're older, then oftentimes it may mean sort of a retirement element in part of all of this. And you're also opening up to a path of spiritual discovery. And that will also continue to be really strong. The other side of this is that also for Virgo, this is going to be a time where you're really looking to get rid of your debt and work your finances in a better way. It'll be a big process that'll be going on all year for Virgos.
And then we have Libra, lovely Libras.
Lovely Libra.
I have a lot of Libras in my life, September 23rd through October 23rd.
Yes. Now, Libra people, of course, Libra is the sign of relationships and the sign of balance. And Libra people tend to balance in maintaining their relationship, not always in paying better attention to themselves. A lot of this will be changing as both Saturn and Neptune will be influencing your relationships in a really big way. This could mean, and this is very easy to say, if you're in a positive relationship, then this is just the time to sort of upgrade where you are, where you think you need to be. If you're in a difficult relationship, you will have to find some sort of resolvement for the relationship to continue, or it will end. Now, in June, Jupiter, our planet of growth and expansion, moves into your career sector. So that should be a very good time for you. Good time for promotion, good time for starting your own business. It kind of gives you a kind of a sense of a magnetic approach. So people are more likely drawn to you. Good time for self-promotion, going to school, any of those things could be really good. And it's an increase in your friendships and the people around you.
So then we have Scorpio, October 24th through November 21st.
Yes, the Scorpio people. Now, all of the fixed signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius, they are all being affected by the planet Pluto because it's moving through Aquarius. Now, Pluto is moving through your area of your chart or your horoscope that deals with your home, family, and roots. So this is going to be a deep clean process going through your core. There could be major changes in your family hierarchy. You easily could be moving, major remodeling, and for sure, paying more attention to your health and staying away from jobs and people that drive your stress and anxiety. The latter part of this year is a better year for you to travel and expand your knowledge base. But so much of the energy that you're involved in is going to be cleaning things out, taking care of things that don't work. And also, this is sort of the beginning of you paying more attention to your health. I know I mentioned that, but this would be an excellent time to start just overall better health processes, eating better, et cetera, all of those sorts of things. It would just be such a benefit. Otherwise, you may find that your health deteriorates, and then you have to do something about it. But if you start now, you can probably catch it early.
And then we move to the last sign of the year, Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st.
Okay. Now for the Sagittarius, the big influence for Sagittarius is the planet Uranus, the planet of reinvention, is moving into Gemini, which is your opposite sign. So this can make you restless. It can make you feel trapped in old positions. Difficult relationships don't do well under this sort of transit and can make things very, very difficult. You're still continuing to work on your home and remodeling, upgrading your office equipment, and looking at renewal in terms of commitment to partners. And there could be some new partnership potentials coming in, especially after June. But demanding relationships, I can tell you, anybody, anything that's going to demand stuff from Sagittarius with Uranus moving into Gemini just won't work. Uranus is the planet of detachment and the sort of big, and the road, you know, and the horse you rode in on, that sort of a good Uranian way of saying that. So if you're older, this could be big job change, relocation. If you're younger, this could easily be you wanting to do something else, expand, get more into the field of communications.
So Lily, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 72 and a half.
72 and a half. I'll be 75 on January 16th. And I've been doing a lot of review of my life, you know, thinking about this three quarters of a century mark. And the perspective of having older friends and the changes that are taking place, you know, we're having a lot more peers dying, passing on into whatever takes place after death. And I think sometimes when I read your forecast, I do it from a certain perspective that is based on this age level that you and I are both currently in. Are there any recommendations based on this turn of the wheel, as you might say, that you would see from an astrological viewpoint?
Well, actually, absolutely. And one of the things, although you're not really old enough at this moment, at the age of 81, 82, our Neptune sits opposite the Neptune in our chart. At 84, we do Uranus return, Uranus coming back to where it was when we were born. And at 88, we do a Saturn return, our third one, which is just Saturn coming back to where it was when we were born. Essentially, these are the same three planets that we deal with at midlife, which is essentially from 39 to 44. So I find that a lot of people prior to this time, it's sort of like, you know, what are we going to be doing with our life? And a lot of our youthfulness has been completed. So I think particularly, not that I think this is an unusual notion, but I don't think our country or our society is very much ready for people that are older and who need to be active. I had one of my clients who just had her third Saturn return. She's 88. She's starting an art gallery in Richmond. So, you know, the older we live, we're still going to want to be active. I think a lot of the things that happen to us as we get older is that so much of what we do is about our youth, what we think we need, shoulda, woulda, coulda be doing in our youth. And as a result of that, I think when we sort of get into our 70s and when you no longer need to do all of the things that you did then you, in a sense, you really have to reinvent yourself. So I know that's part of this time in the 70s is just sort of a not always being sure of where we're going.
Mm-hmm. I find it's not about what I have to do, but the things I want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, over here at Law Harrington, where I live, they have lots of activities and different areas of interest for people to participate in. And staying active, staying engaged, certainly the radio show affords me that. Your work affords you that. So it's very good for as people look wherever they are in the zodiac to think about what happens as you age. When you're 20, you're not thinking about it. When you're 50, you might start thinking about it. But then when you're 75, it hits you. Like, here I am. So what am I going to do with the time I have left? So I really appreciate your insight based on that. And is there anything we didn't ask you about that you'd like to share?
Well, I think I'm going to say that the best thing, of course, is to, you know, have your own individual chart so you can see where all of your planets are, you know, so you can understand all of the motivations that occur through the chart. And the chart itself, this is kind of my beliefs around this, and that is that when an astrologer looks at your chart, they're looking for timing. When are things going to occur? When are they going to end? How's that going to impact you? And so because of that, I think that what happens is what's supposed to be happening to us. Do I think it's always good? Are people always happy? Well, of course not. But nevertheless, I think it's good to understand that this is the time for those things, because oftentimes when I read for people on an individual basis, a lot of response that I get from them is, oh, good, I thought I was going crazy. So I know that I offer a great amount of assurance to other people about where they are, you know, and what's going on in their life. So I think it's really good to have readings. I think it's good to have them done about once a year, and just to sort of get a picture so that you can respond to what's going on in a more conscious way.
That was astrologer Lily Roddy in conversation with Deborah Moncrief Bell, taking our annual look at prognostications for the year. This has been Queer Voices, heard on KPFT Houston and as a podcast available from several podcasting sources. Check our webpage, queervoices.org, for more information. Queer Voices executive producer is Brian Levinka. Deborah Moncrief Bell is co-producer. Brett Cullum and David Mendoza Druzman are contributors, and Brett is also our webmaster. The News Wrap segment is part of another podcast called This Way Out, which is produced in Los Angeles.
Some of the material in this program has been edited to improve clarity and runtime. This program does not endorse any political views or animal species. Views, opinions, and endorsements are those of the participants and the organizations they represent. In case of death, please discontinue use and discard remaining products.
For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
This is Rob Lee from your local station board. There are many ways besides sending a check or becoming a sustainer to support KPFT. For those over 70 years old, it is possible to make a tax-free contribution directly from your IRA to KPFT. Benefits include avoiding additional income from your IRA, lowering taxable income, and possibly lowering the taxation of your Medicare premiums. And as always, that great feeling of helping KPFT. Additionally, we can now accept appreciated securities. For those interested, please email robin@kpft.org. Thank you very much.
It's 90.1 KPFT. Time to check in with the R&R show.
The man is already blowing all of his New Year's resolutions.
Talking about yourself?
No, I don't, you know, me and the resolutions thing, why jack with perfection, you know? I'm just not going to get involved with having to change and alter my state. You've heard of an altered state, right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of an altered state, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of wish I was in an altered state right about now.
And, of course, we are